This week's Tom and Matt Attack is brought to you by Tropical Skittles, who in no way sponsor this podcast, but they're terribly Moorish. Tom and Matt Attack.
Tom and Matt Attack.
I'll wait for you to stop chewing. You're right there, Thomas.
What a delicious packet of tropical Skittles.
What flavours are they, Thomas?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm eating these and I don't know at all what they're meant to be. Okay, yeah. It says on the back.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Banana berry. That's confusing. It's both banana and a berry. Oh, yeah, they are. The kiwi and lime, strawberry and star fruit, mango and tangelo. Is that a Pokemon?
That's made up.
Pineapple and passion fruit.
Interesting. Mm. These are actually American.
Are they?
I do believe because Blockbuster, who are sadly closing down here.
They're not Blockbuster anymore.
They're not Blockbuster anymore, admittedly, but they sell American Skittles because their sour Skittles aren't like the British ones and that they don't taste like different flavours. They're just regular Skittles with a sour sherbetty coating. Mm. Yeah.
Skittles, the perfect gaming food.
Tom, I'm out of attack. No, we've already done that. How are you? You right?
I'm not so bad, Matthew. All the better for those lovely Skittles. Now we'll move on. Doing the usual. Played a few games this last week.
Yeah?
Oh, really?
That's interesting on a game-based podcast. What have you been playing,
Thomas? Dug into Steambot Dig this week.
Did you?
I did.
How was it?
You know, I really like it. It's quite a relaxing experience, I have to say.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm really on board with that
game. It's got a lot of levels of creativeness to it.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the idea of getting a better pick to dig further down. Obviously, there's some areas you can't explore. And then the light going down as you spend more time underground and the light goes down, you have to buy the torches, don't you, and go down. So it's quite a simple, straightforward process, which I like. It there's no messing around in it. You get to this town, you need to mine the town because your uncle is dead or something like that.
Yeah.
And so you just set about doing it and no faffing around. I like it.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? Yeah. It just kind of throws you in and whereas a game like Hohokam doesn't explain its mechanics on purpose. This game doesn't explain its mechanics, but at the same time, they're so there and straightforward, you easily figure them out.
And
there's no mystery.
Clever and cleverer, the more you play it, the more layers, as I say, are to the gameplay.
Yes.
And it's a very well-designed game and a very appealing character design, visual
aesthetic. Yeah, exactly, I was going to say. Yeah. All of the writing as well in the game actually makes me chuckle most of the time when I play it.
Yeah. Light-hearted, well-made, good fun. Recommended. Got that on...
Very difficult towards the end, though, I do warn you.
Okay.
There's a bit of a difficulty spike on the end, boss. By that point, you'll have played it enough and you would have got all the stuff you need and things and it would be all right. But, can slap you in the face at times, that game, and you're like, oh my God, and then you just start back at the top of the mine, you work your way down.
Is it a long experience?
I drilled through it in about 2 or 3 days, I think. Mm-hmm. But I was pretty much playing it constantly, so...
And I don't play games like that.
In 3 or 4 months with the podcast time, you'll hear Tom say he fought the final boss of SteamWorld Dig, for those of you who are new to the podcast.
Yeah, I like to dip in out of games.
You do.
As I did with Resident Evil 4 again this morning.
Ho, 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 ho.
Let's just talk about Resident Evil 4 for a second, because you were saying last time you didn't think it was that great. Or something like that. What was going on there? I think you need to play it again, because the more I play it, the more I remember how good it is.
See, when I played it on the GameCube, I really enjoyed it. I didn't really think of it as a Resident Evil game, but I enjoyed the action-adventure experience that was. Then I've kind of grown old and bitter since playing that, and my last experience of Resident Evil 4 was when the Wii version came out, and I played it for about 5 minutes and thought, this is dire, I'm not playing this, I hate motion controls. And that seems to have kind of sullied my experience, because I was on the bit that you were on after you meet the creepy merchant dude.
The first time you
meet him.
What are you buying?
Got something you might be interested in.
Stranger,
yeah. Once you meet him, you go through a segment where you have to kill a lot of enemies, which kind of sets the tone for the rest of the game. It's kind of like, hey, we're on a non-stop through ride.
No, that's terrible. That's not what they sound like.
No.
They shout at you. Yes, and then they shout. There's that tense music.
There is, yeah. But there's 8 million people, and ammo seems very plentiful. And that's what I kind of didn't like about it. And I was watching you play it, and I was just like,
plentiful ammo?
Yeah, I would say so, in comparison to other Resident Evil games.
Nah.
Every shot in Resident Evil 1, I had to perfectly take.
Yeah, there is still an element of that, especially playing on normal.
You can buy ammo.
You can't.
Expensive, but you can.
The seller hasn't sold it to me yet.
Not yet, but you can later. I'm pretty damn sure from what I remember.
I've been struggling for ammo at times playing Resident Evil 4, and I feel it gets the balance quite right.
I believe.
Maybe not as extreme as Resident Evil.
If you take your time and pull off headshots in that game, there will be plenty of ammo to spare.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, like, the item preservation part of Resident Evil 1 scared the shit out of me, because I always thought that I was going to walk around the corridor and I would hit a hunter and I would have no ammo to take it out. Because they take rounds, especially like pistol and stuff. If you're Magnum, they're still going to take like 3 or 4 shots of your Magnum, which is very precious ammo. And that was part of the appeal of Resident Evil. Not only the fact that it was very creepy in the fixed angles and stuff. I'm not really a fan of the tank controls that much. I don't really care about the tank controls, but these elements of item management...
You're not talking about driving a tanky. You're talking about how clunky the original controls were.
Well, that's what they referred to.
Yeah.
In
the know.
Essentially, in past Resident Evil games, for those who haven't played them, which I assume most of you have listening, you were essentially fixed 3 points. You could aim down, you could aim in front of you, you could aim up. And therefore, killing things was a bit of a hassle, and also was maneuvering and running away very effectively, because there's nothing to describe how you run in Resident Evil other than clunky. And Resident Evil 4 is very smooth, very well animated, because obviously a mass audience isn't going to really care about the nostalgia of PlayStation 1 controls.
But as we talked about last week, I was saying how I think the controls have got a lot smoother and tighter in later installments, 5 and 6. In this game, playing it more, you do get used to it. I found last week, you know, I was struggling a little bit. I thought it was a bit ropey, the controls.
Yeah.
I think they're perfect because, as you said, they aid the tension.
They do, yeah.
They are designed, I think, in such a way that they aren't incredibly smooth.
No. And that's what I'm saying.
They increase the tension.
Fully behind that aspect.
As you
that's what I love about Resident Evil 4. Like, the way it controls... And the way it feels, at least at the start of the game, is very Resident Evil for me. I remember playing it and I remember enjoying it at the time.
Awful lot of atmosphere, and the environments are great. The actual setting of 4 is particularly gloomy and creepy.
Yes, I will agree with you on that point. I just don't like
at the beginning, at least.
The focus on like being able to buy and sell. The fact that there are a million enemies coming at you in hordes and you just kind of blow through them and all of them drop ammo. Whereas...
not all of them.
When you... Yeah, but most do drop
them,
something.
Yes, that's true.
Herbs are also very plentiful from what I saw of you killing a load of those zombie
creatures.
There's
enough of
creatures.
Them. I feel like they're not an overabundance of these things.
But they were so rare in Resident Evil 1 and 2, man. Like, I spent most of Resident Evil 2
thing?
In my Leon play... Yes, it is. I spent most of my Resident Evil 2 play through as Leon... injured with hardly any ammo, like always in yellow, mostly in red, which adds the tension of I'm not going to survive this. I'm not going to get through this. And you have to properly play cautiously. Because I admit, like I've noticed myself when I've been playing Game Boy games recently, if I start to lose interest, I just get very careless in my play. The Resident Evil tension in the first two games especially, like I didn't really play Nemesis that much, so I can't really attest to it, but I assume it's the same from what I remember, was... You were on the edge of your seat because you pretty much you knew if you walked around the corner and you made the wrong move, you were going to die.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked. Whereas in this, there's too much wiggle room. of you to go like, oh God, I'm going to run back out and then I'm going to go to the merchant with the money I just earned from killing these villagers.
Well,
then
that's how I did.
Then I'm going to buy a shotgun and then I'm going to kill them all very quickly. Yeah. That isn't there. Like,
but it's still not incredibly simple. Once I have the shotgun, it was still
Yeah, I admit.
I think it's worth picking it up again and having a go and seeing how you feel about it.
I think
it
I
now.
Need to. I've because got the PS2 version. Maybe I should crack into that.
You're more than welcome to buy the HD version if you wish. It does look very nice.
That's true. Maybe
in,
I will.
In HD, it really does. Yeah. All the textures, you can just see how much work went into that game.
I have said on past podcasts that I really enjoyed Resident Evil 4, and at the time I really did. So maybe it is just me being sullied by motion controls.
And the more I play it, the more I remember how good it was and why I still consider Resident Evil 4 to be the greatest video game I've ever played. One of.
Yeah.
And you can see the seed of Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah.
So, obviously, and not only, of course, in the way it controls the over-the-shoulder third-person perspective.
Yeah.
But also in the merchant and the creature in Shadows of the Damned, if you remember. He eats, got the big mouth.
Yeah.
And he sells you things and upgrades things. He was always shrouded in this blue light, if you remember. And I don't know if this is a nod to Resident Evil 4, but in Resident Evil 4, the merchant also is always accompanied by a blue light.
Yeah, maybe.
I wondered if maybe that was brought over from Resident Evil 4 when they made Shadow of the Damned.
Perhaps
of course
it is.
It's the same game designer.
It is, yes.
Supremely talented fellow who I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, but see, like, I see that...
Mikami? Shinji Mikami?
Yes, that's the boy. I see that game... And that game is what it is. That game is an action game that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Oh,
Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah.
For me, Resident Evil represents a different thing, and that's why I think a lot of people were so upset.
Is that Resident Evil the next generation?
6. Yeah, but does it like make it something else then? Do you really, if you're harkening back to these people who will have played Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, why
I think
are you.
It...
Yeah, but I'm not so much with 4. Like,
this is it. This is I will agree with you that 5 and 6 do go more down an action route.
Yeah.
And 5 doesn't feel like a
Resident Evil
game.
No, not at all.
4 does. But I still like 5 a lot.
I played 5 with co-op with my mate Aaron, so I've got fond memories of it as well.
Yeah. 6, well, we've talked about 6 in the past. It's a mixed bag.
Looks bollocks.
Most of it's... It looks very nice.
No, I mean, like, watching you play it, gameplay-wise, it looks terrible.
Gameplay-wise, it's a mess, unfortunately.
Yes.
And as people have often pointed out, the Leon campaign is the most Resident Evil out of the bunch.
Yes, it is. Watching you play it, I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Whereas Chris is just kind of like, I'm a commando!
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know. It kind of annoys me what they did to Chris Redfield.
Anyway, Resident Evil 4, enjoying it, as ever.
I will have to play it and see.
How about yourself, Matthew? I mean, I've talked enough about what I've been playing. I will come back.
But... I dipped back into Rogue Legacy. I've been enjoying that. Not really much to say other than what I said last week, to be honest. It's a really fun game. I just kind of grinded my characters a little bit and I picked up a lot of items that I wanted and kind of upgraded my characters a little bit more by finding... Because there's an option in the game where essentially as you go through the castle a few times, you gain people outside the castle once you upgraded it certain things. So I've got a guy selling armor now. And then when I'm in the castle, I can find schematics that then he can make. Like once you unlock them in the castle, you can then buy them for gold. Because I can't remember if I told you, the mechanic is essentially like every time you raid the castle, you die. Your gold carries over until you enter the castle again, and then it resets, and then you go back in. I actually managed to unlock an upgrade on one of my playthroughs where I now can barter with death, so I only lose 90% of my gold, so I'm keeping a little bit every time I go in, which is kind of cool. And there's just loads of little levels to it like that, where the more you play, the more you're rewarded, but not in a way that breaks the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's always staggered. Like, you know you're going to die when you go into the castle, generally. But you're okay with that because you know when you come back into the castle next time you'll be stronger, which means you can kill more enemies. You may be able to pick a new heir to your fortune, which is better suited to the environment of the castle you have now. So I have a guy that can stop the castle for me. He can stop it changing for 60% of my gold. And there's loads of other things like that. Like you can get little enchantments put on your cloaks and all this kind of stuff. It's really cool. I'm really enjoying it. I want to play more of it. And I'm going to play it on my Vita when I go away next week.
Yes.
Which would be nice. Other than that, I played a bit more Hook. I'm not going to talk about it any more than I did last week because I'm going to do a biographic on it. And today I've been playing... I went to another flea market, which is admittedly the last Danish, at least. Apparently Martha's dad has promised me we're going to go to one in Hungary, which should be cool, because last time Martha's family went to a flea market in Hungary, I got some really, really cheap games, which was nice. But I went to the last Danish flea market of the year, today, for me at least.
And it was raining.
It was completely it was completely rained off. We actually even got a parking ticket as well, which sullied the experience somewhat. So, yeah, after that, I was just kind of like, well, I'd agreed to meet this guy who I assumed was a reseller, because after a Gula Gratis ad, which is another kind of Danish Craigslist, I saw that he had a lot of Game Boy stuff. He had a lot of Nintendo and things. I just assumed he was just some reseller, and I chatted to him, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll go by his house.
You found his house all right?
Yeah, I found his house all right. It was in Horsens, a town nearby, which is a nice place. It's where I go to the flea market. And I went there, and he was actually an older chap in his 60s. Mm. Very well versed on games. Like, I went into his house, and like his wife was sat in the living room and said hello. And then like the area where we were was essentially their dining room, but it was essentially a games room as well as a dining room. Like, he had a PC set up in a corner with a... pretty much all the Nintendo consoles around an old CRT TV.
So interesting to see a man of that age.
Yeah, well...
basically having a similar setup to...
Yeah, to us. Yeah. It was actually kind of nice. I actually wanted to show him our setup on my phone, but unfortunately I didn't have any pictures of it on there.
Not entirely unusual, though, because my girlfriend's granddad, he was very into games. He'd buy every new Nintendo system when they came out.
Yeah.
Like 3DS, Wii, you know, he'd had everything.
Yeah.
And he would complete Zelda, and he'd very much enjoyed playing video games.
He just had everything, pretty much. Like, he said he'd been collecting for 30 years.
Mm.
And he said he got to the point now where, like, his kids had obviously left home and he had grandkids and stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I don't really need that many games. Like, he was showing me, he had a file, the list of his games that he was selling. He said, well, I'm keeping some for myself, kind of thing. There's a few games on each system that I really enjoy, and so I'm keeping.
Do you know what they were?
I know one on the Game Boy, he had a box copy of Burger Time Deluxe, which is a very rare and sought-after Game Boy game.
Yeah,
so he said, it's my favourite. He said, I'm keeping it.
Awesome.
I actually asked him, he kind of just listed off a few. I know he wanted to keep Boulder Dash on the Amiga. They were mostly old school, like, arcade titles that were on consoles. I think he had preferences then to which one he played. But he showed me this list, and like I said, he has something like 1,500 Amiga games, like original Amiga discs.
Oh, not copies.
Not copies, actual discs. He said they're all pretty much unsorted, he said, but I just got them in a box.
Yeah.
He had Commodore stuff, he had VIC-20 stuff, he had Atari stuff, he had every Nintendo system, he had every Mega Drive. Like, he was showing me the list of his consoles of Amigas, and he pretty much had every variation of the Amiga I could think of. The same with the Commodore.
So he's a real collector then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And he said he's just been going to flea markets for 30 years, answering ads and stuff. But he said he's now got to the point where he still goes to flea markets. He said, I still buy stuff on a regular basis.
Isn't it, as well?
Yeah, well, that's why I like going to flea markets and sometimes coming away with stuff I don't really want or whatever. You just kind of, you go for the thrill of the hunt. I said, yeah, I still go to flea markets, he said, but like, because unless it's something I pick up and really enjoy, he said, I don't get it. He's had like 3 copies of Mr. Gimmick, he was telling me. He had one that he bought for 10 kroner back in like 2000. Wow. And he's kind of saying how funny it is to see the rise in price, because he said, like, he got a top price for a cartridge that he paid 10 kroner for back in 2000s, he said, and that was like 600 kroner, and he was like, oh my god, this game I picked up for 10 kroner is 600 kroner's worth. And he said that he played it a little bit, he said he enjoyed it, but then he said, like, I picked one up a few months back, which kind of made me gutted, because I was like, you go to the same flea market I do. Ah! But he said that he sold that one for 2,000 kroner. Like he said, it was remarkable to see the rise in almost 10 years of how much games are worth, and this is the kind of thing. And he just kind of was saying, well, yeah, I'm getting rid of this stuff now. Like, I don't really have the same sentimental attachment to it. I'm keeping the ones I want. He said, I mainly play older systems like the Amiga and Commodore, so I'm intending to keep most of them.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo, NES, etc. is all going. And I was like, oh, that's fair enough. So I started looking through this. You literally had like 4 or 5 shoeboxes, and I mean literally full to the brim, full of Game Boy games. And I'd seen...
But you're in heaven.
To be honest, they're almost at 200 games now. Like, so
there were a lot of them you had.
A lot of them I had. There were a few that I didn't, a few that really caught my interest, namely American-only games such as Metal Masters, which is a one-on-one fighter where your robots kind of like Real Steel.
Yeah.
You also had a copy of Knight's Quest, which is an RPG for the Game Boy, which he had a cart. And I was also going to buy a copy of Oddworld for the Game Boy, but he had like 3 of them. So I was like, well, I'll put that back and state my chances and I can pick it up next time I go and visit the gent, because I'm definitely going to. And he also had a copy of Max, which is a European-only game in terms of American releases as well. It's actually released as a game called Rubble Saver, I believe, in Japan. The first one in the series is called Star Saver in Europe and America. But essentially, you're a little robot guy, and it's a side-scrolling shooter, platform-based side-scrolling shooter, and it's really fun. So I picked that up.
Run and gun.
Yeah, run and gun would be the perfect term for it. There's a run and gun of Max. There was then the Metal Masters, which I've never seen.
It was more of a boxing game.
Yeah, it's kind of a boxing game, but you know you can do uppercuts and stuff. Yeah. I was fiddling around with it later, and I kind of fiddled out the controls. And then he had Knight's Quest, but for 50 kron or more, i.e. a fiver, he said, I'm going to box one. I was just like, well, Abe can go back then. I'll take this. I'm a bit low on funds at the moment. Yeah. And then he pulls out a gigantic box filled with box Game Boy games. And I nearly lost my shit because he was asking next to nothing for him. Because he's just kind of like, well, they mean nothing to me. He said, the reason I don't post these games off to people, he says, because I want to meet the people who are buying my games, because this collection means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want to judge if they are people who are going to resell them, he said, because I've met people like that over the years who would just buy things to resell them. He goes, I want these to go to a good home. Yeah. Which is really cool. He's actually telling me that some guys from Aalborg, which is the north of Denmark, had been there last week, and they bought a lot of NES and Super Nintendo games, as well as the systems for them, because they're going to open a retro cafe up there. So he was like, I gave them a few extra games, you know, ones I thought were fun to play co-op with my kids.
Yeah.
Because then they got stuff for people to play co-op.
That's good, because they're sharing the games with an audience, introducing people to new games, perhaps.
Yeah.
Retro experiences.
Yeah, which was ace. So I walked away then with a copy of Knight's Quest, and, like I said, Max and Metal Masters, which is good. There were a lot of other games I wanted there. There was, like, Mr. Nuts, Pocket Bomb Man, the Oddworld game, like I said. He had box copies of things like Alleyways. He had Gradius, Interstellar Assault, which is known as Nemesis 2.
Oh, right. Here. No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, Nemesis is a Gradius game, interestingly enough. It's released in Japan as a Gradius game, but they didn't know the brand awareness in the States and Europe, so they recall it as Nemesis.
But Gradius is Gradius on the NES.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's published by... Konami, I don't think. It is a Konami game, and the second one, the Gradius Interstellar Assault, was a Konami game.
Yeah.
But I think it's under the Ultra label, or whatever that one, Palcom, is it?
Palcom.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
in
it.
Europe. So it isn't published under Konami, which is why they didn't call
Palcom
it Gradius.
Published.
Yeah, they do publish Konami stuff, but it's not...
But not Gradius on the... Is it Gradius or Gradius? That's a good question.
Answers on a postcard.
I've always wondered that.
I say Gradius, you said Gradius, so I went with it.
Let's just...
Call the whole thing off.
Oh, what an exciting time, yes.
Yeah, it was really
cool. So now
cool.
Your flea markets have ended. You've got this guy now who you can get your...
My pusher man.
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm almost, like I said, at 200 carts now. I bought a lot of the rarer carts this month in the form of Spud's Adventure and Trip World, which are the pinnacles of game buying. I really want to get Amazing Tater. And I wouldn't
more
mind
potato-based games.
There's a game called Hammering Harry as well, which is an IREM platformer, which is only released.
Good old IREM.
Yeah, it's supposed to be awesome. It's on the Game Boy, but it's a European exclusive, and therefore demands quite a high price, much like the Taito games do on the NES games.
Mm-hmm.
The IREM games on the Game Boy tend to demand quite a high price. So I looked into buying it. I don't know if I'm going to. It's not as expensive as anything like Trip World. It is on the pricey side, though. It's worth about 40, 50 quid. I don't know if I want to spend that much on a cart. Like, I bought Trip World. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I spent that much on Trip World because I know I'm never going to get it.
Yeah.
Hammering Harry was released in Scandinavia.
Did he have Trip World?
He did not have Trip World.
Okay.
So that says a lot, because this guy's been collecting for 30 years and he'd never had Triple. He didn't even know about it. I told him about it. I was telling him.
Oh, wow, okay.
Knew what gimmick was. He didn't have a clue about Triple. So it wasn't released in Scandinavia, see?
Uh-huh. Ah, then you probably wouldn't have heard about
it. No, exactly. That's where I was. That's why I bought it.
Mm. Nice. Nice. Oh, I love your stories of flea market adventures. I don't have anything quite as exciting.
It's okay.
I can tell you a few games I've picked up this week that I've played. Well, just one, actually.
Yeah.
That I've played. It's Skeleton Biker or Skeleton Rider. I cannot remember exactly the title of it.
Interesting.
But it's a Vita game. It's quite cheap. It's around about the £3.50 mark.
Yeah.
What it is basically Trials.
Yeah.
You know, bike
welcome
stunt
to
game.
The future.
Yeah.
Machine, the future. Yeah.
Trials. Matt's referencing
Trials Fusion.
This is a wonderful hand-drawn aesthetic. It's like doodles on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Black and white. It's very nice and plays. It reminds me visually of something like, remember Line Runner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reminds me of that visually.
Oh, cool.
And it's a lot of fun. If you like the Trials type gameplay, then you definitely get a kick out of this.
Yeah.
There's lots of challenge there, lots of...
Good times.
Yeah, good times. It's very addictive.
Yeah, I can imagine it. If it's like Trials, it would be one of those just...
A perfect game to have on a portable console, I think. I don't know if there's any other similar games like that available for portables, but...
I'll have a look.
It's really good.
Sounds like something I can play on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
That's good to me.
I highly recommend it. The only other thing I picked up this week was RoboPit 1 and 2 on PS1.
RoboPit?
It's a pseudo-fighting game. I was looking through a list because I've been trying to collect all the PS1 fighters.
Yeah.
And this kind of comes into that category. But the list I had when I was looking at, I looked at a few of the games and they didn't quite fit the bill of one-on-one fighter.
Yeah.
There was a little bit more to them, or a little bit different. This one, you know what? I still don't know much about it.
Right.
But I looked it up on eBay and the original RoboPit was quite... someone said it was about £15 box just on its own.
Yeah.
And someone had put up RoboPit 1 and 2, starting bid of $8.99.
Yeah.
I was like, okay then, well let's take a chance on this.
Throw
one.
Throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, I still didn't know much about the game. I saw a quick clip of it and it looked not your standard one-on-one fighter, but
yeah,
for this price, for the two of them, let's do it. And I won them, and just over £10, I got these two games, which I will surely sample when I next go back to the UK.
Cool on the gang.
Another two for the collection.
What are you missing now for the PS1?
Well, actually, this list I mentioned revealed a few things I'd never heard of.
Okay.
Essentially, I'd be trying to collect things that were good.
Yeah. No,
and overlooking like the really crap ones.
But you overlooked Zero Divide 2.
Yeah. I didn't... Yes. I already had Zero Divide and didn't feel the urge to get Zero Divide 2 because...
Why not?
Because I wasn't that impressed with Zero Divide.
Leave Zero Divide alone! I wasted
but
many
an
hour...
I do own Zero Divide 2 now, so...
I wasted many an hour on Zero Divide and
my
True
standards
Pinball
are slipping. Yeah.
Back in the day. Those were the only PS1 games I had other than, you know, good titles like Rayman and Tekken and Tomb Raider.
There's a game called... I think it's called Killing Time. No, Killing Time's another game. Or maybe there's two games of the same title.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little bit obscure. You see, some of these, I don't want to pay a lot for crap fighting games.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Okay. It's like £20, this one. And I'm like, well, yeah, I could say I've got it in the collection, but do I really want to spend that money on it?
I have this same feeling towards some Game Boy games. Yes, I'm holding out. Like, I don't mind paying 10 kroner for Dragon's Lair because I know it's going to be a shit game. But, like, when someone's demanding 20 kroner for Cliffhanger, which is regarded as the worst Game Boy game, okay. I'm just like, I don't want to pay that. Yeah. Like, 20 kroner is a 20 quid's a very good Game Boy game, perhaps boxed.
I saw a Darkman for the Game Boy on eBay for about £12.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I heard about how bad it was. And
that's pretty much going rate for that game.
That's quite a lot of money for a really crap game.
Yeah.
Not in a box or anything, just can't. I don't think there's very much left on the PS1 in terms of strictly one-on-one fighting games I haven't already got.
Yeah.
There's the odd couple. There's International Karate. I think I haven't got that. There's at least one other one that I've heard is quite good.
Yeah.
But still, I was surprised there were so many on this list I'd never heard of. So maybe I've got a longer way to go than I first thought.
Maybe.
And maybe I'll unearth some hidden gems, perhaps.
No, that's cool.
But that's kind of a side project. I'm not thoroughly investing my time into collecting.
Not throwing PS1 yourself at it wholeheartedly games. Like me in Game Boy games.
Interesting about Game Boy games is I realised the other day I was on Retro Collect and I was inputting what Game Boy games I owned. And I said this to you earlier, but I've only got like 10 Game Boy games.
Yeah, which is weird
it's
to
never
me.
Been a platform I particularly got behind.
This is very strange to me.
Whereas I must have about just over 30 Game Boy Advance games.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm quite into the Game Boy Advance, but original Game Boy...
You've got the good titles. I've like you've got very solid library in those 10. Like you've got Shadow Warrior, Ninja Gaiden. You've got the Mario World games
and the Wario games.
Yeah, you've got Nemesis, i.e. Gradius, as we previously talked about.
That's right.
Pokemon.
I've got the Pokemon games, all the pinball and card games, the main series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a solid Game Boy library. I wouldn't feel too disheartened.
No, I'm not really. I was more surprised because I thought, I didn't realise I'd never really got into Game Boy.
Yeah.
I was quite happy with the few titles I've got. I've got Micro Machines on Game Boy.
I'm sure you've got more than that. You've got like Metroid as well, right?
I've got Metroid 2. I've got Micro Machines, Twin Turbo.
You've got up about 20 Game Boy games. I think you're underselling your collection there.
I think I've got about 10 original Game Boy games. And I think I've got a few more Game Boy Color games.
Have you got the three Pokemon titles? We've got Red, Blue, and Yellow.
I've got Blue and Yellow.
You've got Blue and Yellow, that's two.
Didn't need Red. Same as Blue.
No, it's not. Mario Land 1, Mario Land 2, yeah. Wario Land 2.
Yeah.
Nemesis.
Wario Land 2's on the Game Boy Color, though.
I've got one on the original Game Boy. Return to Samus.
Yeah.
Micro Machines 2.
That's on Game of Color.
Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you have got a small collection. I tried to dig you out there. I tried to give you some kudos.
Yeah. I don't mind.
Tell me you've not got games like Kirby's Dream Land.
Yeah, I've got Kirby's Dream Land.
Tetris.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 10.
Yeah. That's about it, isn't it?
That's about it, yeah, maybe. Shit. Yeah. Okay, never
mind. That's a good collection, isn't it?
It is a good collection. It is a solid collection.
I've got Street Fighter 2.
11. But that's not a good game. We won't mention that.
Yeah. But, yeah. There we go.
Fair dues.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention that because it was curious. Apart from, what other games have I played this week? That's what I'm trying to say. But the words aren't coming out of my mouth. Not very much, to be honest. The usual multiplayer fare. You know, Thursday nights with my friend Gareth. Dead Alive 5. Halo Reach. Mario Kart.
Yeah.
The great multiplayer games. But one game I played this week, actually just today, was Animaniacs on the Mega Drive.
Yes, this is one of the games I picked up a couple of weeks back.
I was curious about this one. It's Konami.
It is.
Which usually signifies quality. It's a platform game, but with a kind of a puzzle element, because you control the three Animaniacs.
Yeah.
And switch in between each one. to do certain
Yakko,
things.
Wakko, and Dot?
Yes, that's right. So Yakko can push things.
Yeah.
And he has a bat and a ball, which is his weapon. Wakko has a large hammer, which can hit switches and start fuses going to blow up TNT.
Yeah.
And Dot has a charm power up where she blows a kiss at an enemy and then something happens to the enemy. Like, for example, the enemy will stop dead and you can jump on its head and get to a higher platform and things like that. So you have to think on the fly very much how you're going to use the Animaniacs. And there is a slight delay when you change over.
Yeah.
So that can get a bit infuriating if things have to happen quite
quickly. Yeah.
You have to wait for him to walk in front and then become the lead.
Oh, God, really? I thought he would have been like a button press and then a few infinity frames as you change between Animaniacs.
Yeah. You don't have to wait in an awful long time, but it's long enough to be slightly...
Irritating. No, that's a shame.
But it's beautiful. In fact, sprites and animation and colours and... Yeah, it's really nice.
I'd be interested to play the Tiny Toons game as well that I picked up on the Mega Drive.
Buster's Birthday Blowout? No,
it's something to do with an adventure, I think.
Tropical Adventure?
Yeah, something like that.
Tropical Skittles Adventure.
Tropical Skittles Adventure. This podcast is brought to you by Tropical Skittles Adventure. No.
So I was impressed enough to give it another go sometime, but at the same time, I turned it off in frustration that some things were really niggling me about it.
Yeah.
As much as the graphics and presentation was very nice.
Yeah. Mm. That's cool.
So there we go. Tiny Toons and Animaniacs. Worth a look if you haven't played that Mega Drive game. It's a really good looking game.
Yeah. I've been playing around with for the last week and a half or so. I've had the app a bit longer, but I needed to free up some space on my iPhone. Just took a picture of you, Tom, while you were speaking there, and you looked very startled. Actually, it turned out quite nice. I was using an app that we were actually given.
I look curious, like I know you're taking a picture of me.
You do look very curious. You're wondering why the hell is he pointing that gigantic iPhone at me?
I look like I've been taken with a Game Boy camera.
Almost. It's an app, like I said, I've been playing with for a while now, called Retrospecs. And essentially what the app does is it allows you to take a picture. I'll take a picture of this delightful box of biscuits on the table. And then essentially you can apply a system filter to it, such as teletext, which I always find quite novel. There's things like
or
the Apple II.
Depending on what channel you're
on. Yeah, this is true. The Atari 2600, there's Intellivision filters. And then when you kind of go up to the other ones, then like BBC Micro is quite interesting every time I look at it. There's ZX Spectrums. And all the way through ColecoVision up until the Game Boy camera itself.
You get a Game Boy one. Yeah,
which is pretty damn cool, which I've been taking a lot of pictures with. It's on the App Store. I highly recommend picking it up.
That's nice one.
It's got some nice things, like you can play with the contrast and do all kinds of crazy stuff to it, and you can play with like the burst of pixels as well, so you can have a really high contrast image with a lot of blacks and a lot of whites.
I mean, to me, the Apple Mac one looks like the Game Boy camera as well.
Yeah, more like the printout, though, I feel, right?
Yeah,
because, I mean, like, when you looked at the screen of the Game Boy camera, it was always green. So
MSX looks terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oof.
Oh, well, this is hours of fun.
It is. I've been having quite a lot of fun with it. I've just been taking pictures of random things
Apple
on my day-to-day.
Oh, your NTSC Atari's 2600s.
Yeah,
beautiful
boy.
Image, yeah.
But yeah, it's quite a cool app in my opinion. It is done by a chap who I actually met on RetroCollect.
Mm.
And he'd said that he'd made this app. A guy called John Parker, who was, like I said, very kind to give us a copy so we could talk about it on the podcast. But yeah, I really recommend it. I don't think it's too expensive. I think it's about £1 or something like that on the App Store. Check it out if you haven't already.
Mm.
It's cool. Other than that, I've not really picked up many games this month, to be honest.
Apart from your obvious Game Boy pickups.
Apart from the obvious Game Boy pickups, I did also pick up a copy of WCW, the main event. For the Game Boy.
For the Game Boy.
Surprise, surprise. Because it's got Sting looking very angry on the cover. And it was one of the Game Boy games that was only released in Germany. large WCW audience in Germany, apparently. Whereas there's a million WWF superstar games on the Game Boy, there's only one WCW game.
Okay. The WCW games weren't bad on the N64.
Well, from my experience, WCW games in general aren't that bad. Like, I played Mayhem, I think, Mayhem? On the PlayStation.
Yeah, that was on N64 as well.
Yeah, it was good.
I like Mayhem, yeah. You could do the backstage fighting in that one as well.
I'm just happy because Sting looks very angry, if I'm being honest with you. He's like...
Oh, what do I remember of WCW? I remember Sting and Goldberg and Hollywood Hogan.
Hollywood Hogan. Yeah, boy, those were the days. Yeah. I also picked up as well, like, I got in a trade from a listener called Anders, who traded me a copy of Wario Land, the original one, for a copy of NHL Hockey 95, which is a fun game. It's perhaps one of the better hockey games.
You like hockey, don't you?
I do like hockey. It's an EA game, which weirdly I've noticed, all of the EA games on the Game Boy aren't published by EA, but THQ.
Whoa.
Which suggests to me at some point THQ was a bigger company than EA, which seems mind-boggling. Yeah. But no, it's pretty good as hockey games go. Like I previously mentioned, I own both Blades of Steel and Hit the Ice, which are both very fun representations of hockey, but this is perhaps a more accurate representation of hockey for my money. It's got ice in rules, which is when you hit the puck up behind the goalkeeper, but one of their players gets to it before you, and then they send you back into the penalty area. Oh. It's got lots of things, essentially. I'm not going to bore you with the rules of hockey, but it's got a lot of the rules and stuff in place, which is actually nice and makes a realistic game. It's also got the ability to check people and stuff, though I haven't experienced a Blades of Steel style beat 'em up once I check people yet, which is a bit lacking.
Yeah.
But as a hockey game...
On the Game Boy, considering the limitations.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me laugh, because the last proper NHL release I played was 2013, and I kind of played this and was like, wow, not a lot's changed in almost 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, it still replicates hockey as well, I think. I think they nailed the principles a bit down in the 8-bit era, which is very interesting to me. See, it hasn't really changed that much, but it was a good game. And I also got a Japanese cart off him that I wasn't expecting, which has a very cute cat on it.
Yeah, what is that? I was curious.
It's Trump Collection. It's a card game. Unfortunately, I looked at it.
Trump?
I thought, wow, that's going to be some zany platformer. But no, it's Trump. It's, you know...
Top Trumps.
Top. No, not Top Trumps. It's a card game you play where essentially you put bigger numbers on top of the other cards. You trump the other card.
Oh, okay.
It's got this really weird rule that I've never played in Trumps, though, where if you put a 2 on top of anything, like a 2 is the highest card, because a 2 can go above an ace. Which doesn't make any sense to me, but yeah, after a while of playing it, it was alright.
So you understand it?
Well, it's just Trumps. It's a card game I used to play when I was a kid. Yeah. So.
And there's no like language barrier in terms of menus getting into the game to play it?
You just spam A and you get into it. Yeah. Like, I assume there's a variety of different modes. There's also a sign on the cartridge that shows it can be played two player, so I'm guessing you can link up a load of Game Boys if you have another copy of Trump Collection.
Yeah,
which is a very affordable cartridge. Like, he bought it for 5 kroner in Super Potato in Japan.
Okay,
so yeah, you could do that if you wanted to, but you'd want to, I don't know, you just play with cards, it's probably easier. But yeah, it was okay. It was a nice surprise to have in that package, so cheers, Anders.
You've also been playing some Famicom this week, haven't you?
I have been playing some Famicom. I cracked out a copy of Mega Man, my copy of Rockman 4, which we've often talked about on this podcast, purely because my girlfriend Mara had a Nintendo when she was a kid. And I'm sure I mentioned on the podcast that she kind of caught me out of left field the other day when I was playing Mercenary Kings. And she goes, oh, this reminds me of Mega Man. I was like, how the fuck do you know what Mega Man is? And she's like, because I had a childhood.
You know, Megaturakun reminds me of Mega Man because you can't shoot upwards.
No, oh, fuck off.
Carry on.
None of the charm. None of the charm.
Great music.
But I
like Mega Man.
Not as good as Mega Man.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Thank you. I wanted to play Mega Man 2 because it is the easier of the Mega Man games and very fun.
Yeah, you say that. I still aren't.
Oh, come on, Tom. Play the game. Anyway. So I went to plug it in into our old chunky NES, and it was giving me a bit of grief. Like, I think I need to pull the NES apart and maybe clean the contacts inside the system. Because, admittedly, my carts were very grubby because they'd been in storage before they came over here, unlike my Super Nintendo carts, which I kept immaculate water. Tight boxes because I didn't want anything to happen to my Super Nintendo collection.
Did something happened to your N64 collection, didn't it?
No, it didn't happen to my N64 collection. That I don't know what the hell happened to that. I kind of fell out of love with gaming around the time of the N64. I went to disc-based systems and then that kind of sat by the wayside, unfortunately.
But your copy of Lilac Wars was fine.
I that's because I love that game. I got it in the big box and everything. Like, I upgraded my copy of Lilac Wars to the big box of the Rumble Pack because I liked it that much. So yeah, I went to play Mega Man 2, didn't load. Mega Man 3, also the same error. And then I tried to put in, clean the cart properly with an eraser and a Q-tip. So the cart's nice and shiny now. But then for some reason, after a couple of tries of any game, our NES seems to go to a weird flat grey screen, which is apparently...
Well, this happens a lot. It happens to my NES back home.
Yeah, but apparently it's a problem with the contacts in the system. So I need to sort that out. So, as a result of this, I tried to plug them into the retro thing we have for the Super Nintendo.
Retro port.
Is it? And that didn't like Mega Man for reasons unknown. The retro port, which has been pretty solid since you've had it in terms of playing NES games, just didn't like Mega Man for some reason. Like, I plugged in Super Mario after it, and Super Mario played fine, but for some reason it didn't like my copy of Mega Man. So, I thought, bugger this, I got Rockman 4 on the Famicom. My God. Why isn't the NES as well manufactured as the Famicom?
It's not even a Famicom.
It's not even a Famicom. It's a fucking knockoff Famicom. And yet it is more reliable than our Nintendo Entertainment System, which I'm just going to point out was refurbished 2 years ago. Like, all of the components and stuff inside that.
Really? Wow.
For the most part.
And you feel a bit duped to there.
I am a bit pissed off. Not so much at me buying a refurbished NES, because like I said, my carts are a bit dirty and maybe I should have cleaned my carts before putting it in. Saying that though, like, I've never touched this copy of Rockman 4, which looked a bit grubby, and I still played immaculately. Then I put in Kid Dracula, which is, I can now attest to, for the most part, the Game Boy game is a remake of that one, with a new few little bits added in, and obviously English text, you can understand what the fuck's going on. It's very good.
Yeah, I got really stuck when in the moving platform, the what's it called?
The train bit. Yeah, it's a pain in the arse, isn't it?
Yeah, did you get past that?
I did,
I gave up after.
I did, purely because it's very similar to the Game Boy one, and I knew how ridiculously unfair it was.
There's a level like that in Rocket Knight Adventures, which is also quite challenging.
Yeah?
I wonder if it's Konami, you know, it's... Because when I played that on Kid Dracula, it just made me think of Rocket Knight.
Yeah.
So I think it's a Konami trope, perhaps.
Of having this card thing. Yeah. Actually, I think it's...
Recycled gameplay mechanic, basically.
Yeah. I'm sure it's in something else. I was going to say Power Blade then, but that's by Taito. But there is another game I've played by Konami that has this aesthetic in it, now that you mention it. Maybe it is a trope.
Yeah.
Interesting. Play some more of Animaniacs, find out what's in there.
Yeah, I will do.
Yeah. Guess that brings us to the end. What have we got to look forward to in the week ahead?
Games-wise?
Yes.
I looked...
Nothing. Not a sausage.
We've already talked about on previous week's August's releases. The next big game's Destiny.
Yeah, actually I need to cancel my Amazon pre-order of Destiny.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to risk it for a biscuit. I'm going to buy it in Denmark and hopefully get the special edition. Oh, no, actually, I can't. I'm not you when it comes out. Oh, I'm going to have to try and buy it in Hungary. Oh, well, actually, it'll work out cheaper then. Hooray!
There you go. But yeah, there was little to report on new releases. I think Super Smash Brothers for 3DS is out on the 3rd of October. It's coming out on 3DS still. Before the...
Well, it was supposed to have already been out.
More of a summery one, isn't there? Now it's October. So that's quite a big release coming.
Oh, man, that 3DS looks nice.
I've not seen it. Oh,
it's a limited edition red one, and it has all of the Smash Brothers fighters on the top, like the main ones.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it looks really nice.
Yeah. I'm wondering how this portable version is going to play, because it can't be too full on, can it?
Well, it's too a fast. Pretty damn powerful system it if is. You think about it. And like,
but I'm wondering if it'd be a bit more accessible for the lesser skilled Smash Brothers player.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up and play it with you, because we're going to get forced into playing the Wii U version, so we better get out.
I'm interested in it, actually, the 3DS one. I know our friend Austin will get it as well.
You do realise as soon as I get it, I'm just going to sing that. Mega, 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 man!
And he's in that, isn't he? Yeah, all he the is. Characters that are in the other one.
Oh,
the
God.
Big brother.
I hope there's like hidden Mega Man characters. If we can play as X, I'm going to lose my shit.
Have Nintendo said anything about any more characters that are hidden?
They keep revealing them, don't they? Yeah. Like,
I thought they'd maybe finished.
It generally seems to be like Fire Emblem characters, and I'm like, yeah, good job, Nintendo. You made a Fire Emblem game. Good for you.
You wonder, there'll be a huge chunk missing from Nintendo Directs after those games get released.
What are they going to talk about? Hey, we got a new Zelda game coming out. Good. Yeah, we knew about that.
Yeah, they've got to start bringing something else, some big. I'm probably Zelda. Maybe they'll start revealing more details about new
Zelda.
But
like you
and
can't,
maybe new Mario.
You can't talk about a new Zelda for a year, can you?
Let's hope they release a Mario game which in the same vein as Mario 64.
If they just did a whole Nintendo Direct on Yoshi's Woolly World, I'd kind of be okay with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that, and I'm very excited about the sequel to Kirby's Power Paintbrush as well.
I still haven't got Kirby's Triple Deluxe. I really need to get that.
Yeah, that's a game I keep thinking,
I haven't actually seen that in a game shop for a while. I really think I should pick that up.
I saw it in the UK quite a bit.
Okay, fair enough. It's just Denmark. I did actually see a copy of Angry Birds Trilogy earlier in Denmark, which is quite an obscure game, I'm told.
Yeah, on the 3DS, you say?
No, on the Wii U.
Wii U, that's
going
the
for like 70
one,
quid.
Say, yeah.
I saw it for 15, and I was like, oh, I should probably buy that, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't really care that much about Angry Birds. I imagine it'd be quite good to play on the Wii U. If it's there next week, maybe I'll pick it up.
Oh, yeah, because the touch the screen.
Yeah.
You could just sit there, you know, while something else is going on the TV, playing your Angry Birds on your Wii
iPhone.
You could do that as well. You could play it for free on your...
I think you've got to buy it on your iPhone anyway.
I've got a free copy of Angry Birds Space on my phone.
Maybe it's free now. I think it was...
But with ads,
when it came. Okay.
Ads every now and again.
Interesting. Right then, until next week, guys. The podcast actually next week will be out a little earlier than this one, purely because I'll be in Hungary from Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to do an extra one that'll go out the week after because I won't be here to record. But I've kind of got an idea for that one that I'm going to run by you afterwards, Tom.
Ooh,
but we'll see if there's a podcast out that week or not.
Yeah.
In the next week's one, so don't stress about it. Right then, until then, guys, you can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. Thank you very much for the people who messaged us after me saying, like, nobody talks to us anymore. And a few people were like, I listen, I talk to you, which is very nice and very affirming. A lot of people as well recently messaged me and just been like, oh, I didn't really know about your podcast. So I listened to it. I actually quite enjoy it. Thank you people as well. Spread the word. I don't really know how to anymore. So it's a fast evolving world, Tom. I don't really want to sign up to forums and just be like, hey, look at all these things, and then depart. Like, if I go on a forum, I want to invest in a community and chat to people and stuff. And so
the Tom and Matt Attack listeners as an army, go out there and spread the word.
Yes, please do. I'll also be at EGX, the Eurogamer Expo in London, on the 26th of September, I think, the Friday day. So, yeah, I'll be there. I plan on having badges with me. I'm thinking of cooking up some badges.
Oh, yes.
So, drop by if you see me. I'll post a picture of my ugly mug and what I'm wearing that day when I'm there. And just kind of come up to me and just be like, hi, Matt, game on, and I will give you a badge.
Ah, if you say game on, only if you say game on.
Only if you say game on, you will get a badge.
Yeah, it's a password.
It is, yeah. It'll work, though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Can I have a badge?
You can have a badge. Of course you can.
I was going to say a quick note. Blast Processor Matt, you know, our father site,
yes.
Blast Process. I said Matt, didn't I?
You did.
That's you.
Mike.
I meant Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, Blast Processor Mike, brought to my attention recently that a video we made some 4 years ago about Night Trap, which is Night currently having a resurgence due to a Kickstarter.
Yes.
Maybe we'll see a reworked, remastered version if they get the backing.
Who knows, it hits the target,
yeah. Go for it, it's a good game. But yeah, the video that we'd made, it's been watched by the creator of Night Trap, and he rather that's enjoyed it.
Pretty damn cool, I say
to
so.
To say that, because I was quite happy about that.
Good job to you, Dave, Mike, and Pete, I guess.
Yeah, and Becky also featured in that video. It was a real joint effort. Mike and Pete were dressed in bin bags and got
looked
very
quite
sweaty.
Clammy, I was going to say.
And if you're curious to find out more, head over to
BlastProcess.com.
Head over to our YouTube page, which you can find a link through BlastProcess.com.
I assume it's youtube.com/BlastProcess. If you go to youtube.com/GameBoil,
we're all connected, yeah.
You'll find it in my channels and links.
But well, I must apologise in advance that the audio over time has gone out of sync. Very peculiar.
Yeah, degradation of YouTube videos. It's a bit strange.
If we have an opportunity, we will maybe remaster some of the older videos, because there's a lot of stuff there. And I say, if you're curious, check it out.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. I used to watch it before we were on this podcasting adventure and I became part of Blast Process myself. Check it out. It's all cool. Yeah, facebook.com/BlastProcess, but also facebook.com/TomOmatAttack, where you can find the latest and greatest in Tom Omat Attack news. And then you can like us and rate us and do
the
all
usual
of these other cheeky subscriptions in iTunes of this podcast. Like I said, if you are listening to this podcast and you think, hey, my mate Dave might like this podcast, send it to Dave. Go like, oh, Dave, you should have a listen to this podcast on your weekly commute, because, yeah, we make the podcast. We're not really going out there and going like, we are the best podcast in the world. Listen to our podcast. We just appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah. We're the humble voice of two gamers in Denmark.
Yeah. One who doesn't like Resident Evil 4. One who does. See, he's unbiased as well. Until next weekend, guys. Game on.
Game on.